All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We need to go ahead and begin. And as always, we'll open up here in just a moment with a word of prayer to begin our day today. And if you would, take your Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Psalms chapter number 19. We'll look at just one chapter. It's kind of a short chapter, 14 verses in the chapter. Part of it is pretty familiar. In fact, there was a scripture song written, and well, I don't say written, God, so it was already written, but came out of this chapter as well, and we'll look at some of that in just a few moments. It is a psalms that David had written, and some important things that we'll look at here in Psalms chapter number 19. We'll begin here in just a moment with a word of prayer. Brother Richardson did mention, if you would please remember Brother Liberto in prayer. He's having some heart problems. In fact, I think he mentioned that they were going to maybe possibly admit him into the hospital on Thursday, and they still may end up having to do that. So if you would, just remember him in a word of prayer. I know many of you have prayer requests. Brother Richardson, of course, will ask for those in a few moments in our morning service. But it is important that, it's one thing to mention a prayer request, but it's our responsibility in return to pray for those. So let's do that and remember those who are in need. Not only that prayer request, I'm sure there'll be many given today. A lot of people in this world that need the touch of God's hand. So we need to make sure that we always remember those in prayer, especially when they ask of us to pray for them. So let's do that and ask for the Lord's help and the Lord's blessings upon our day. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today. And Lord, first of all, praising you for being our God today. And Lord, we want to praise you and, Lord, be thankful this morning as well that you love us and care for us and, Lord, look out for us. And, Lord, we often kind of tend to forget that you're a guiding hand and hand of protection around us. And, Lord, we want to say thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation today. Lord, we thank you that we have a much better home that lies ahead of us in the future. We thank you for that. Lord, we also want to thank you for our church today that we have, that we can come and once again come together. And Lord, Lord, just a choice to be able to come today. And we thank you for that choice that we have. We thank you for the freedom that we have in our country this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this day. We do pray for our church, for your blessings continually upon all that the church does in a week's time. And we pray for the upcoming week that your blessings be upon all that's said and done in this church and through the church and the ministries of the church. We also, Lord, want to pray for, Lord, many, many missionaries that our church is that our church supports. We do pray for your blessings upon them. Lord, I know that no doubt they have needs this morning as well. And Lord, I pray that you would help supply their needs. We pray, Lord, that you would be upon them as far as your blessings, that you would give them fruit for their labors, and that you would guide, lead, and direct in their life. Lord, we do pray for Brother Richardson today, for once again, that your blessings will be upon him. Lord, I pray that you would bless the message this morning and even the message this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be good listeners. Help us to, Lord, have an open heart and an open mind to all that you have in store for us today. Lord, we acknowledge that we, Lord, we're a needy people, and Lord, we know that you have something for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to grasp, help us to, Lord, take hold on what you have for us today. I pray that you would work in our life, make us different. I pray that, Lord, you would, help us in our needs that we may have, that you would help us to be a better servant for you this week. Help us to be a good testimony, a good witness for you. And Lord, all that we do, we pray for your help. We pray, Lord, for our country today. We are in a need of revival as a nation, and I pray that you would send a spiritual awakening to our nation. And Lord, I pray for revival among us, and not only us, but also our entire nation today as well. Lord, we pray now that you bless our Sunday school time that we have as we open up your word, as we studied, look. We pray that you would help and meet with us in a special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalms chapter number 19 this morning is where we are going to begin, and we are still a week behind in our lessons, in our lesson book. I felt pretty good last week. I thought I had us all kind of caught up, and I thought we were up to date on our Sunday school lessons, and my wife was talking about their Sunday school lesson. I thought, I don't know where y'all got that out of your lesson, because I didn't find any of that in my lesson. But then I realized there was a week we did not have Sunday school in here, so that put me behind actually 2 weeks, and I apologize for that. I don't really sometimes maybe catch the dates on the lessons, but we're actually going to be a week behind this week as well, so keep that in mind. I know some of you use your Sunday school books, and I apologize for that. Maybe in the next week or two I'll catch us back up to date on the date as far as our lessons are concerned. But we're going to be in Psalms chapter number 19 this morning, and I want to remind you a little bit that this is an actual Psalms that David has written here. I mentioned to you several weeks now that David, you're going to find he is going to have his name mentioned often in the book of Psalms. He was someone who loved music. He was someone who loved to write maybe a psalm unto God. You'll find that often throughout the book of Psalms. And Psalms, David was a great warrior, but then on the other hand, he was one that could take a harp and just be a master at playing the harp. He was also one who enjoyed, maybe throughout the day, his thoughts and his heart would kind of motivate him, I guess, to write a psalm. And this is going to be one of them that David is going to write here. And you're going to find here, and I honestly believe as we begin, that David was probably looking up into the sky one day and meditating on the blessings of God. I think that David looked around him on the earth and could see the beauty of God, even in creation. And David, in return, is going to take those thoughts and he's going to pen a Psalms here that we are going to read here in just a moment. So keep that in mind, that that is what we are studying and that is what we are reading here. You're actually looking into the life of David and some of the thoughts and the heart of David and some of the Psalms that he penned here in chapter number 19. The Bible says in verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now the word declare there, if you'll make a note in your Bible, it means to witness. And how that when you look up into the heavens, it is a witness, if you would, of the glory of God. We find also in verse number 1, he goes on and talks about the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now the word firmament there is talking about the skies, if you would, space, if you would, the atmosphere around the earth, and how that when you gaze into it as well, it will actually kind of demonstrate or kind of prove to you the handiwork of God. And so as we, I was thinking as we were coming to church this morning that my youngest son Daniel yesterday pointed out the sky and how there was a redness in the clouds yesterday at sunset and a beautiful sunset last night, and he had made reference to it yesterday when we were outside, the color of the sky and the clouds, and how neat it was, he thought, to look at it, and had a very reddish kind of a tint to it, and kind of unusual. And I was thinking this morning, isn't it amazing sometimes how that kids or young people will see the beauty of creation sometimes, and we as adults, we just pass by and don't think anything about it. And sometimes it takes a young person to kind of point out the beauty that surrounds us, because I'm afraid sometimes as adults we're all consumed of what we're doing in the day and what we've got to accomplish and the routine of the day, and we get so busy in life we kind of tend to forget all the beauty that does surround us. And David here is just reminding us as he was gazing up, I believe, into the sky of the beauty of God's creation and the handiwork of God. And we've got to realize and remember the creation that that surrounds us is the handiwork of God. The stars that we see in the skies in the evenings is the handiwork of God. And we ought to gaze up into the stars and realize that every star that we can see is placed there by the very hand of God. In fact, in my lesson book here, it was talking a little bit about the space that surrounds us and the firmament that surrounds us, and talking about this. It's interesting here. Let me read a little paragraph out of my Sunday school book here. The writer writes this: the Earth's atmosphere consists of gaseous air surrounding the Earth to a height of 621 miles. It is made up of 21% oxygen, 78% nitrogen, 1% other gases, including hydrogen, carbon dioxide, argon, neon, and helium. These elements rotate with the Earth because of its gravitational pull. This factor, more than any other, enables life to exist. In fact, without them, we could not exist. Only an almighty and omniscient God could perform such an act. And that's very, very true. And there's a lot about space and stars and planets and all that surrounds us that humans cannot actually explain to a certain point. Because you cannot. You'll never know the depth of God and the mind of God. But I honestly believe this morning that the sun in the sky is there because of God. In fact, the sun, it is exactly such a distance from the earth. If it was any closer to the earth, we'd burn up. If it was any further away from the earth, we'd freeze to death. And to believe this morning, you know, how foolish can people be to believe in the Big Bang Theory? That a tiny mass existed at one time and it exploded and everything was just exploded out into existence. I mean, you're talking about stupid. That's stupid to believe something like that. And they talk about how hard it is to believe in a God that you cannot see. You know, I don't know about you, but I find it a lot easier to believe that God just put it all there than to believe in some Big Bang Theory that took place one day. And we know that God is the creator of the universe. We know for a fact this morning that God is the one that created the earth. He is the one that created the stars. He's the one that put the moon in existence. He's the one that put the sun in the sky. He is the one that makes the earth, the seasons to change. We were discussing yesterday a little bit how that we're starting to notice now the trees are just now beginning to start to turn colors a little bit. We were outside a lot yesterday. We were kind of looking around and noticing that there's some yellow starting to show up and there's some orange starting to show up and a few reds starting to show up in some of the leaves around. And it's that time of the year. It's that time of the year that we're getting ready to get into the fall time of the year. And it's just God speaking to me. And realizing that God put all that into existence. You go out at night and you look up into the sky and you see the stars and the moon at night. And what is that? All of that we see is a testimony to the handiwork of God. And it's a constant reminder of God's existence all around us. In fact, big debates a lot about creation, and I say big debate. I don't look at it as a debate at all. I don't think there's a debate about creation. I just believe that God created. There's no debating about it. Then you have those who do not believe that there is a God. In fact, even in my Sunday school book, let me see if I can find it. There was a reference here a little bit about in 1961. Russians were the first one to put a man to travel in space in 1961. That's a little bit before my time, but I'm sure some of you may can remember that in history. In fact, it took place on April the 12th, 1961. Russia put a man in space, the first one to travel in space. And after that experiment, the man that was in charge of Russia at that time made this statement. Why should you clutch at God? Look, and he mentions the man that went into space from Russia, and he mentions how that they put a man in space. And he said that they put a man in space, and out there they saw no God. They don't believe in God. Didn't believe in God and didn't see God. And that was their testimony of their experiment for the first time in space. America put a crew in space on December the 24th, 1968. It was Apollo 8 that went out into space. And as they were in space, I'm reading, kind of skimming through my lesson book here. In Apollo 8 in 1968, as they were out into space, they took turns reading from the book of Genesis as they orbited the moon. As they were orbiting the moon, there was a statement that is still on the record books that was made by Bill Anders, who was one of the astronauts, and here's what he says. We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to Earth. And here's the message. Genesis 1:10, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Big difference between them and then those that were from Russia, because some believe that there was a God, some believe that there was not a God. But when you really think about it, as we find here in Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 1, that David is basically reminding us that creation all around us is a testimony of God and God's existence. I believe that the very trees that change colors that surrounds us, and probably in the next couple of weeks, it'll be, of course, a lot more. I've gotten to where I enjoy the fall time of the year. I like to see the color in the trees. And what is that? It is a testimony of the handiwork of God. In fact, I believe that creation all around us is a testimony and a witness that God exists and that God is the creator of the earth. So David here, I believe, he probably looks up into the sky. He makes reference here to the heavens, declare the glory of God. The word declare there means to witness, and how that the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets that surround the earth and all that takes place in the sky, it all is a witness of the glory of God. The firmament is mentioned here, which basically is talking about space, if you would, the stars, the sun, the moon. What is that? It all shows the handiwork of God. The stars that will shine in the sky tonight, if it's clear. What is that? It, you know, as we see that, it ought to remind us of the handiwork of God. As we watch the trees turn color, and as we watch the seasons change, and the cold weather comes, and before we know it, it'll be springtime once again, and then the trees will once again put forth their leaves, and the grass will begin to grow, and then you get into the summertime and the heat of the year, and the changing of the weather and the changing of the seasons. What is that? It is a constant testimony of God and God's existence. And it ought to remind us, as we look out and as we see the sky and as we see the clouds and as we see the sun shine and the moon at night and the stars at night and the trees and the turning of color, it ought to remind us. And that's what's happening to David. He is reminded of the glory of God and the handiwork of God. And in that, it just reminds him of who he is and how that the earth is a testimony of God. And it triggers David's mind into meditating about God and the glory of God and the handiwork of God. And so he pens this psalm here, Psalms chapter 119. Now, as we get to verse number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I believe that they are actually verses that kind of lead us back to the thought here that all of the creation of God is a constant testimony of God. You know, we live in a society where mankind tries to put out the very thought of God, but it's impossible this morning. We live in a world today that most people don't want to hear about God. They don't want to think about God. And we've tried to make it where we've driven God out of every aspect of society. But, you know, you can't do that. God surrounds us this morning. The very air we breathe today is a gift from God. You know, you take science and you take the gravitational pull, you take the rotation of Earth, and you take all the scientific proofs that we've kind of put together as human beings. You know, what is that? All of that is a testimony of God. And David is reminding us here of that. So let's look, we'll read a few more verses here. I believe verse 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 basically are telling us that the creation, the life that surrounds us here on this earth is a constant reminder of God and His glory and His handiwork, and it ought to be a constant reminder unto us. Even as adults, we should be reminded as we go throughout the day of the very existence of God. When we watch the color of the leaves starting to change, it'll be a constant reminder of us daily that God is in control. When the cooler weather comes in and the winter comes and the colder air starts to come in, it'll be a constant reminder unto us every single day that God is in control. You know, we should be reminded also this morning, man can always try to predict the weather, but he can't control the weather. We all look up the weather forecast, and I do that very often. I want to know what the forecast is. I want to know, I think today was a 40% chance of rain today and so forth, and sometimes we'll kind of gauge what we're going to do from day to day based on the weather, and we'll look up the forecast, and we want to know what the weather forecast is, and the weather man or woman will tell us there's a 40% chance of rain, or it's going to be sunny, or it's going to be windy, or it's going to be rainy. They'll try to tell you exactly what the temperature is going to get up to, and there's a lot of ways they can kind of predict that and kind of know what's going to happen. But you got to realize that if it's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow, it's because God makes it 80 degrees tomorrow. They just predict the weather. God controls the weather. If the wind blows, it's because God makes the wind blow. If it's cloudy today, it's because God put the clouds in the sky. If it's clear today, it's because God wiped all the clouds away today. I mean, all weather is controlled by God. It's part of His handiwork. It's an expression of the glory of God. And sometimes I'm afraid we as adults, we get so complicated in life and we get so complex in life that we need to step back and kind of view the world a little bit like a child would and see the beauty in the sky. My son Ryan was one years ago in science when they started studying a little bit about the stars and so forth, and he was good at it. He could look in the sky and tell you what that's supposed to be the shape of. I never could see that. I to this very day, I'll look at it and I'll say, I don't see how y'all see that. But I can find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. I can find that in the stars, but that's about the extent for me. But we ought to be able to look at the sky and be interested in it. Why? It's the creation of God. You know, we as adults, we look and say, yeah, it's pretty nice, and we go on. A child looks up at it and says, wow. You know, sometimes we as adults ought to look at the stars and kind of go, wow. It's pretty amazing. And it's all there because God put it there. To think that this morning... Brother Yander, you're a science person. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but we have no idea how many stars there are, correct? There's no way mankind... In fact, it's amazing what we've just found a new planet, last year or something like that. And it's just amazing what's all out in space, and I don't think man can even touch the surface of what's all there. But every planet, every moon, every star, I believe is placed there by the very hand of God. And David was pretty amazed. I believe that David looked up into the skies in verse number 1, and David just basically went, wow. That's the handiwork of God. You say what that is? They said, that's the glory of God evident in the skies, in the heavens. It just proves the glory of who God is. So this morning, and I've thought about it a lot for the past day or two here and this morning of how that I'm guilty of often getting so busy in life and so consumed with everything that I feel like that I've got to do today and I've got to get done and the busyness of the day. And I'm guilty often of going through a day and just missing all the beauty that God places around me. Sometimes we just need to slow down and put everything out of our mind and just realize how big God is. And just realize the glory of God. And realize the handiwork of God. It's all around us. The flowers that bloom is because God makes them bloom. The fall time of the year, and I like fall. I used to hate fall, and as a child, I never did like winter. I never liked cold weather that much. And as I've gotten older, I'm kind of liking the cold weather better than I do the hot weather. And the fall decorations, we were noticing on the way to church this morning, people that have decorated outside with straw and corn stalks and pumpkins and my wife said the black-eyed Susies and things of that nature, some decorations that people have put out on the road and the beauty of it. It's not something that man created. It's just something that man gathered that God gave and kind of put it together. It came from God. He goes on, and I mentioned to you in verse number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and he's just basically trying to describe unto us, as David views it here, that the earth and all that surrounds us and all that God has given unto us in the creation of the universe and the earth, it is a testimony of God. He goes into verse number 2. He says, Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And he's talking about the glory of God in the heavens and the firmament and the handiwork of God. And he's relating back to that, reminding us that all that we see is a testimony of God. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was younger that used to make this statement of how that with all that surrounds us in the creation of the not only the universe but the earth, the trees, and I mean just everything that surrounds us on this planet. And he used to make reference all the time of how that he could not understand how any living soul could not believe that there's a God. And probably very true. I mean, you try to explain the atmosphere that surrounds us this morning, as I read out of my Sunday school book this morning. Try to explain how all that comes together. And I realize there are some scientists that tries to prove everything, but I've got news for you. There are just some things in life when it comes to science that you cannot prove because God is far beyond mankind's ability to think. There's a lot of things in science and things that surround me from day to day that I cannot understand, but that's okay. I understand this morning. God understands, and that's all that matters. He goes on in verse number 4. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. He's talking about the sun. He's talking about the atmosphere. He's talking about the skies. He's talking about the stars. David is just consumed with the thought as he looks around at everything that surrounds him and realizing that God is the creator of all. And God, in His handiwork and God in His glory, is very evident. If you just look around, you can't help but see God. When you think about it, everybody's like, well, you know, you can't see God. Well, you know, I look at the stars and I see evidence of God because God made the stars. I look at the sun and I realize that God is in existence because He's the one that created the sun. And when you really think about it, as you look around you, you see God everywhere. He goes on in verse number 7. There's a scripture song, and let me go back and make reference here. Scripture song is some people have taken some different scriptures and kind of put music to it a little bit and make it into a song. And I realize this is a psalm, but this is a popular one here, beginning in verse number 7, verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10 is actually a scripture song that I can remember as a young person singing. In fact, it was an easy way to memorize scripture sometimes. But look at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You got to realize the setting here that David is in. He's thinking about the creation around him. He's thinking about the stars in the sky. He's thinking about the clouds in the sky, the sun, the moon, all those. And he's just realizing how big God is and how great God is and the glory of God, the handiwork of God, and how all this is in existence because of God. The reason the trees grow is because God makes it grow. The reason the flowers bloom is because God makes them bloom. The reason the stars shine at night is because God makes them shine at night. The reason that you can actually see the reflection on the moon at night is because God made it that way. There's a lot of glory and a lot of I think there's a lot of great things that surround us, and we pass it by every day and never give a thought to it. Isn't it a shame sometimes that, I don't know, you know, to me, it's a shame sometimes that it takes a child to point out something that you see, but you don't even give thought to it. I mean, the clouds yesterday, and I got to noticing the sunset yesterday and the beauty of it, and it was late afternoon when there was a redness in the clouds and how they were just kind of scattered out into the sky. And to be honest with you, I didn't notice it. I should, but I'm afraid I probably pass by a lot of God's creation day to day and don't think much about it. We should. It's there for a reason. All the trees, all the flowers, the moon, the stars, the sky, the clouds, all, you know what it's all there for? It's for us. God put it there for a reason. It gives testimony to God. It gives witness unto God. And David here is making reference now to the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is talking about the Word of God. You'll find he's going to use different words here. He's going to use the word commandments. He's going to use the word judgments. He's going to use the word law. It all goes back to the Word of God. Look at verse number 7 once again. The law of the Lord is perfect. And by the way, the Word of God is perfect this morning. And it doesn't need mankind changing it. And we don't need a different copy. And we don't need them to revise it. God's Word's fine just like it is. We don't need a new publisher. We don't need somebody to rewrite it. We don't need a different version. We just need to get back to obeying the Word of God. And David makes reference to the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He says in verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord. Going back once again to the Word of God, the statutes of the Lord are right. Doesn't matter what mankind may think about it. It doesn't matter if mankind disagrees with it. Doesn't matter. The Word of God is right. There's no flaws. There's no misprint. There's no mistakes when it comes to the law of God, to the statutes of God. They are correct. They are right. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. Isn't it amazing some of the debates that we face in society today? I mean, just common, simple principles that we find. And we could talk about a lot of them this morning, but I make reference this morning to the issue once again of marriage. I mean, to me, marriage is simple. Marriage is natural for a man and a woman to marry. But how complicated just the one subject of marriage is. And the debate that rages over. We were going to Lowe's yesterday, and before we pulled in, I got behind a car, and they had a big sticker on the back window and said, honk in support of gay rights. And I didn't honk my horn. But that's the norm. I mean, that group's the normal. We're the weirdos now. Well, you just don't love people. You're not a very tolerant person. You're not a very understanding person. And when it comes to something like that that's contrary to the Word of God, I don't need to be understanding. I understand it pretty clearly. God has a law, and God's law is perfect, and it is right. In fact, we live by the... people don't want to admit it, but you live according to the laws of God. I mean, the only reason you've got air to breathe this morning is because of the laws of God. The only reason that there's a gravitational pull on this earth this morning is because of the physics and the science and the laws of God. God's the one holding it all together, dear friend. David continues on and he mentions here in verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David is just basically praising God that God's the one in control. His laws are right. His judgments are correct. His commandments are pure. Basically, David is looking at all that surrounds him and everything that's around him and realizing God is right. And we don't have to be told that this morning. We know this morning that God's right. Sometimes we've got to be reminded sometimes. Boy, we live in such a messed up world today where people can't even comprehend the very simple, basic commandments of God. We could discuss the issue of abortion this morning. How can society believe that aborting an unborn child is okay? Now you tell me how that can be. Huh? And I'm not trying to be ugly here, but you let a police officer shoot a black boy in Missouri and the whole world comes unglued. How many babies were aborted in that same day? Don't nobody care about that. And I can't remember the exact number up to this date of how many babies have been aborted just in our own nation. Let me tell you why your Social Security is struggling this morning, because you killed off all the prospects of people working and putting into it. I mean, how can a sane society come to the conclusion and accept it as law? Number one, I don't accept it as law. I still say it's murder. I think it's wrong. So are you calling everybody that aborts a child a murderer? Based on God's word, that's what it is. But we live in a society, you live in a nation this morning that accepts it as law. Majority of Americans today believe that it stays intact, that it's actual law. So, well, it is law. I mean, the Supreme Court ruled on it. Well, I've got news for you. I've got a lot higher court than the Supreme Court. It's called God's Word. Are we not a messed up nation this morning? We've forgotten who God is. We've gotten to the point as a nation where we don't even acknowledge and see God in the presence of everything that's around us. And David was so simple here in chapter number 19. He basically steps out one day, looks up into the sky and realizes, you know, God is a great God. I mean, look at the stars. I mean, it's His handiwork. I mean, you can't even look at it without realizing the glory of God and the presence of God. And as he looks around, then he starts pinning out this Psalms here as he writes it unto God, just praising God for who he is. And then we get into verse number 7 and verse number 8 where he talks about the law of God. He talks about the testimony of the Lord. He talks about the statutes in verse number 8. He talks about the commandments of the Lord in verse number 8. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord. He talks about the judgments of God in verse number 9 and how they're all right and they're all in its rightful place because God knows best. But when mankind steers away from the very presence of God, and when man begins to think that there is no God and there is no judgment and there is no law, you have total chaos. Amazing. My daughter was in a speech class the other day. She goes to college up here and so forth, and she got an assignment on the next speech, and I can't remember the title or the type of speech that it is, and you can give a speech on anything you want to except religion and abortion. Those two are off base. See, mankind don't want to be reminded. They've tried to put it out of their mind. They've tried to put it out of their thought process, and they do not want to be reminded that there is a right and there is a wrong, and God is always right. See, mankind don't want to be told that God's right.
Because mankind wants to believe that they're right.
You know, I found it to be very, very true. Everything mankind touches, we mess it up. God knows what's best. And Emily's in here. I'm sorry, Emily is in my class today. But anyway, and I don't know, maybe it may be some of the rules of the college. I'm sure that there is. If I'm not mistaken, Emily had mentioned the other day that I think even the teacher referred to it, that somebody gave a speech. I think, was it on abortion at one time? And I think it upset the class and kind of, is that what it was? On gay rights, gay marriage, that was off limits too, right? Okay, you can't do that. Because somebody gave a speech on their opinion. I think that they gave in their speech, the opinion was that it was wrong. Upset all the class. And I'm sure somebody protested, and they probably got their little signs, and can't do that. Hurt somebody's feelings. Got to be politically correct. And we know for a fact this morning God's in control. Oh my, I'm like David. You just look at the stars and say, hey man, God, we know God's in control. Go outside and just look at the sun shining in the sky. What does it do? It reminds you, hey, God's in control. The clouds that blow through the sky, what is it? It's just a testimony that God is very present. All the creation that surrounds you is a testimony of God's creation. Isn't it amazing how plant life even realizes falls on its way? My tomato plants are dying out. Are y'all's dying out? Are yours about gone? I mean, how does a tomato plant know? Sometimes tomato plants have more sense than mankind does. I mean, a tomato plant, you say, why I'm dying off? Because God. Mankind can't figure that out, but a tomato plant can. He goes on, David does. Let's see here. I think I read down through verse number 9. Verse number 10. More to be desired than... More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey... and the honeycomb. What's he talking about? He's talking about the laws of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God. And by the way, you know what David says? They're a lot more valuable than gold. You know, the thing that everybody's killing everybody over, money, gold, possessions. David said, actually, the very word that you hold in your lap is worth all more than all the gold you'll ever acquire on this earth. Verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He's talking about the words of God. Look at verse number 11 again. Moreover, by them, what is he talking about? Them is talking about the judgments, the statutes, the commandments of God, the laws of God. He says he's referring to them in verse number 11. Moreover, by them, those judgments, commandments, the word of God, if you would. Moreover, by them is thy servant. What's the next word? Warned. And by the way, there's a warning that comes through the word of God. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Very basic. You follow God's law, there's rewards that come. You choose to not, you choose other according to the laws of God, that says you've been warned. It just simply comes down to this in life. All that is required of us is just to follow God's word. And there's no way a mankind can't believe and see that there is a God. God surrounds us in everything. It's amazing, the birds that fly in the sky because of God. Why does a dog bark and a cat meow? Because of God. Verse number 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. David's now referring back to himself, and he's talking about his life. Verse number 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and I believe that that's exactly what Psalms chapter number 19 is. It's the words of the mouth of David and the meditation of the heart of David. He says, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just a little bit of a psalm here that David put together one day when he looked around and realized that the earth and all that surrounds him, all that he sees in the sky, it is all a testimony of the very existence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize as we go throughout our days in this next week that lies before us, may we be reminded as we look around and see all of your creation, may it remind us of your glory and of your handiwork. Lord, we praise you. We honor you, and Lord, we say thank you this morning for all that you have granted and given unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.